Sometimes Heroes, Season 2, Episode 30.5. My name is James, and I'll be your Game Master. Let's introduce our player.
Hi, it's Amanda. I'm playing Galena for the first time in a while, and she is a Dwarven Bard.
Yeah, she's been real neglected, so we're going to see what she's been up to in Cid's toes for a hot second. And last time, on the Galena show, she was... She was under the influence of the Cold Forge, got a little bit too close, and was very rude to the party. But she was hanging out with Olo Winterschild, as well as a small elvish family, one of which appeared to be of the prophecy type. And we joined them as Galena has fully recovered from her angst, and Cid's toes appears in the distance. A cliff among trees, hundreds of feet high, with five distinct outcrops upon which walls are set. And between the fourth and the fifth outcrop is a steep, steep road from which you can see tiny little carts in the distance being pulled up on a winch. Galena, you're with your new party, consisting of two young ladies, a younger man, and an older orc.
Okay, Galena turns to Olo and she's just like, I'm so sorry. You believe in Sten, and I'm so sorry I was yelling at you about him earlier. I didn't really believe what they said about the Cold Forge. I'm sure Sten can do the job just fine, and I don't think you're stealing him from me. I'm so sorry. She's just like apologizing to them repeatedly.
Olo looks down at you. He looks a lot better from his horribly poisoned and arrow-to-the-chested self, and is walking with a renewed spring in his step. He smiles a big tusky smile and says, "Worry not, child. Everyone has these moments. Do you not know the grumpsh runs through these veins? Surely you think I have been rude to one or two in my day."
Will you be staying in Cid's toes long? Can I buy you a drink or something to make up for it?
Ooh, that sounds good, child, but unfortunately I'm not particularly welcome in Cid's toes. It lies along what the humans call the frontier, and they do not appreciate our kind. They think us raiders and savages.
Oh no, that's good to know for whenever Sten and my other companions get back.
Yes, or get knowledge out. Is power.
Yes, I am starting to learn that, or become more aware of it, actually. And she, what was the name of the boy with the antlers again?
Lerano Ya.
Lerano? Okay. Mm-hmm. She looks at Lerano and she's like, can I treat you guys to a meal or something? I want to thank you for leading me here and putting up with my nonsense.
Lerano looks over to you and smiles and nods. And his older sister, Lethel, says, it's nice that you talk to him. He still doesn't know common very well. He immediately looks at his sister like angry and blushes in the face. I know words in common.
I know words too. Yay! Okay, let's go find a good place to eat. I'm getting pretty hungry. And then she waves to Olo and I guess gives him a hug or something. I don't know. She probably gave him a hug.
Olo is starting to bow when you give him a hug and gives Bonk. You that like gentle pat on the back.
That's like what this little girl at work today came up to me. She's like, can I have a hug? And I'm like, okay. And I just kind of gingerly hugged her and patted her on the back and then was like, okay, now leave.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So he begins to step off into the wild, and you notice, because you're an astute young woman, you notice the elves around you like get less on their guard once he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
But they continue to walk with you. And within a couple of hours, you're at the base of Cid's toes, looking up at this imposing cliff. Several carts around you, waiting to be winched up the steep path, surrounded cool. by bored caravanners.
So we need to go up? Or is there a place to eat at the base of the cliff?
It appears there's an outhouse down here.
Yeah, we don't need that yet. At least I don't think so. Galena looks at the cliff and then looks at the carts going up the face of the cliff and then looks at Lerano and his sisters, whose names I don't remember.
Lethel is the eldest, who is probably your age, and Lethel, okay. Me is the younger.
Okay, Lethel, are we going to ride one of those carts up there?
Lethel gestures, and you see a stone-cut stairway into the edge of the cliff.
Oh.
Like, it appears the winch is just for carts laden with supplies and is helping the horses up the hill.
All right. Well, it's not like I haven't had enough exercise or anything lately. She adjusts her loot on her back and her pack and stuff, and she's like, okay, guys, at least we'll work up even more of an appetite by the time we get up there.
You see the oldest sister dump the deer that they caught onto Lerano's shoulders, smile at him and say something in Elvish, to which he protests, but she just laughs and starts running up the stairs.
Okay, she runs after them, and she's just like, wait for me, I've got little legs! And they make it up the cliff, I guess.
Indeed. You make it up well before Lerano does, but May and Lethel are pretty fast. At the top, they greet you, shortly joined by a huffing and red-faced Lerano Ya, with horns growing from his hair. You did notice that his sisters made him put on a hood.
Oh, yeah, because they don't have horns, right?
No.
Okay. She asks Lethel about the horns, she says. Is that something that would perturb the people here?
She leans over and conspiratorially says, everything makes humans scared.
Yeah. Especially a dwarf in a corset.
She looks down and blushes, and then looks away and nods.
Do you guys have the same parents? Like, not to pry or anything, and you don't have to answer that, but why does he have horns and you don't?
She just waves her hand and says something in Elvish, and then looks at you and then says in common, he's special.
Ah, okay. I guess that's true. She says, all right, guys, let's go eat.
On the main road, as you just get to the gate, which you see has this large machinery being manned by a couple of dwarves, which is basically a winch that is pulling and simultaneously lowering a cart on the other side of the road. They are maintaining it and rushing around and putting oil on various things. But as you look down the road, you see numerous shops basically dedicated to the maintenance and repair of carts, as well as a large inn.
Okay, well, the inn looks promising, so she heads over to the inn, sort of.
It is a two-story, sturdy-looking building just inside the east gate, which you just came into. The sign above the door is a wooden caricature of a halfling with, like, grotesquely large feet. Outside of this place, you see a familiar face. A cowled elf steps out of the Toe Jam and Churl, which is the inn you are stepping into, and she glances one way and then the other, and as she turns away, you see a distinctive three-scar pattern on her cheek. Hey, it's your friend, Iria.
Ah! Oh, now I'm gonna have to talk to myself. Okay.
I'll play Iria in this, don't worry about it.
Okay. Galena looks at her and just sighs. She's just like, what are you doing here?
Ah! How did you sneak up on me?
You're not
heavier
exactly...
than I am.
Hey!
She's just laughing at you.
Yeah. Where are you off to now? Are you going to be here long?
No, I'm leaving. You know, heat.
Ah, yeah. Well, she sort of thinks about the last time she saw Iria and how it didn't really end well. And she feels bad, but she's also still kind of angry at her. And then she looks at her and she starts pulling out some of her supplies in her pack. And she says, actually, do you have any pressing matters you have to get to, because I want to ask you a favor, and you really owe me one, Iria. And I mean, I can't go to the Cold Forge, but despite how we left things, you're still one of the few people that I feel like I can trust.
At this point, Lerano steps around the edge of the building, and the two sisters step away from you, just like clearly seeing that you guys are having a private conversation now. Iria looks down at you and like looks to the side and says, well, my schedule has just cleared up. I was just planning on going home. Do you have something interesting for me?
Yeah, I've been traveling with a group of people that just went into the Cold Forge, or they're heading into the Cold Forge currently. And I know you've been there. I was hoping you could help them through and show them some of the good stuff.
Iria gets this look, kind of distant, staring into the distance, but like recovers a couple of sentences later.
And Galena's in the middle of saying, make sure they don't die. Here's some of my medicine. And hold on here. Let me write this. Give this to Sariel. Iria, listen, Iria, pay attention.
Yes, Sariel. What? Sorry.
Elf, the other elf, the only other elf. She you might, she's kind of like your cousin that you've told me about, except less grumpy.
Oh, that's good, because Astrea was real grumpy, no fun.
Yeah, I'd like to meet her. She sounds like she really put you in your place a few times. And as Glenn is talking, she's scribbling down a note. Yeah, so give it to Sariel. Don't open it. She'll know.
Iria
And
pouts.
you can ask her what it says. I'm sure she'll tell you. But Galena thinks for a second and continues writing, and then she scratches something out, and then she writes something else down. Okay, give it to Sariel. She's probably the person who
She's the
will
only other
be.
elf. I'll figure
Yeah,
it out.
but I'm just thinking, like, she's the best person to talk to when introducing yourself. She'll make the best judgments. Not that I'm saying that other of my friends have bad judgment. It's just I feel like she could be the most objective sometimes.
If they're your friends, they probably have bad judgment.
Galena frowns for a second and then looks at Iria, and then she's like, "That's fair."
Like when you look away and look back at her, she's pointing at herself.
yeah. and she's like, "Okay, be safe and don't let anyone die, and don't die yourself. Don't do anything stupid, like."
No guarantees. You see a cadre of Avzal soldiers sprinting down the street, and she looks at them, grabs the note, and sprints away.
Yep, that sounds about right. Okay, so.
When you step inside, despite the external roughness of the place, the inside is pretty warm. It has like a large open grill in the center that is surrounded by a bar, and it
Cool.
appears to be jam-packed full of people. Mostly dirty folk who have clearly been on the road for many days and are just finally taking a break. But you do see some people that are clearly, regulars from town, but they're the exception in this case. On stage, you see a older man with a lute who is plinking away, but pretty quickly you can see that like this is just a guy who picked up a lute to entertain his friends on the road. Like this is not a trained bard.
Okay, she sort of eyes the stage for a second, but then her stomach growls and she's like, "Okay, gotta get some fuel first. Just get something quick and easy." She sits down and gestures to someone. Or just should she order from the bar, or will somebody come up to them?
You know that eventually somebody will come up to you.
Okay, yeah, she looks around trying to catch someone's eye as fast as possible.
A young woman with silver hair cascading around her head, and it's almost in a pixie cut as well. She looks at you and nods and smiles. What can I get for you?
Hi, what's good?
Well, not much.
Oh, well, what's tasty, I guess, and has protein.
Just real quick, you lost Lerano somewhere?
What?
But his sisters don't seem concerned.
Okay.
And you see her look over her shoulder at the kitchens in the back, and a pretty gaunt-looking fella with a bad shave hollers out, "Venison is on the table!" And you put it together that they just sold their deer.
Okay, well, we'll have some venison stew, I guess. And ale.
Dwarvish or regular?
Dwarvish.
All right,
Well,
then.
for me, not for them.
Of course. And for you ladies, the two daughters look up and the eldest says, "I'll take the venison as well and wine for us." The waitress sashays away and goes to get your order, and shortly Lerano joins you. As you look around this place, you can see that before you were thinking like it's just full of dirty dudes and ladies who have been on the road for a long time. But pretty shortly you're able to like distinguish groups of them. Often there's some distinguishing characteristic, like they have an armband that's all the same color. Supposedly, they're all like some form of brown or really faded blue or something like that. But you can tell that these are clearly different caravan groups, and they're all sort of huddled together. Very few of them are mixing.
Okay. She's mostly looking towards the stage, like thinking up a set list already for what she's gonna play, trying to get her what's the general attitude of everyone? Do they seem tired or do they seem irritable, or what is everyone's emotion?
The general mood in this place is, oh, thank God we can finally take a break.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot of tables of groups that are half people with their heads down who are just resting and just glad to be off their feet, and the other half are like enthusiastically being like, yeah, it's party time.
Okay, so she's lining up a few good relaxing songs. Not, like, by relaxing, I mean, let me think. What's a good... I'm bad at music. Not cool jazz, because cool jazz is awful. Like a good bar song where you can, like, kick back and nod your head to without getting too rowdy. But if somebody wanted to get up on their feet and hop around, that would be a good thing to do, too. And then she's just thinking, like, and I'll build up to, like, more rowdy songs as the set goes on. And she's just, like, imagining the crowd when she plays while she's waiting for her food to get there.
Okay, I want Galena to roll an insight for this real quick to read the room, see what they want.
I rolled a 16 in insight.
Yeah, you're pretty sure this will work. You realize that some folk are from Umbria. There are a fair share of dwarves in here, fewer than you thought there would be, because you heard that this place had a lot of dwarves. But there are also quite a few hobgoblins in here.
Okay.
And so you put together sort of a set list of things that will please both groups in your head.
Definitely Snuffles and Truffles is on the list.
Oh, that's just your pet project. Of course it's on the list. What are you talking about? Your food arrives shortly. The waitress puts a hand on your shoulder to notify you that she's there and then drops the mugs over your shoulder, as well as some fresh cooked venison.
Yes,
with
nice.
Some leafy greens on the side.
That's perfect. She looks at the waitress again, wondering, is there anything inhuman about her? Because she's never seen a human with hair like that.
Roll investigation. You can see her fine. She's smiling down at you.
I rolled a 19.
This person looks uncannily familiar. Like, really familiar. And as you're looking up at her, inspecting her face, she looks down and says, is there anything wrong?
No, I just... Have we met before?
Well, you look like the type to try to lure someone with songs into the woods. Perhaps a place with a waterfall. But that's just my suspicion. And she walks away.
What? She looks at the older sister.
Lothel.
Lothel, yeah. Oh, I see. And she says, was there anything unusual about our waitress that you noticed?
She coughs into her drink, spilling a bit of wine on the table, which she rapidly gets a napkin from nearby and starts dabbing it up and looks down at her drink. She's pretty.
Oh. I mean, she is, yeah. But there's something really familiar about her, but I've never been here before, so... Huh, whatever. She shrugs. She finishes her food as fast as safe. As fast as she can safely finish it.
Roll for not joke.
Okay, how do I... what no.
I... So are you getting up on stage?
Yeah, she's like itching to play. And she doesn't even think to ask anyone at this point. She's just kind of like, I'm going to entertain these people. And she gives the old man on stage a look like, hey, do you mind if I take your place for a little bit?
So as you're stepping up to the stage, because you just know, like, based on what he's playing, that he's probably going to be done this song. He's just looking a little bit fatigued and whatnot. But as you're walking up to the stage, he looks down at you and nods. But you see that there's another young man with a little fife, like, getting ready to go on stage.
She's just going to pretend like she didn't notice him. Because she wants to play. She doesn't want to deal with, like, acknowledging him.
It works. Okay. The guy's like, it's finally my debut.
Oh, no. I feel bad out of character. But Galena doesn't care.
So you get on stage and there is a thump and a scrape of wood on wood as this man sits back down in his chair.
Aw.
He'll wait later. He'll have his day.
Yeah. Yeah, so she'll...
Okay. You are on stage. The crowd, once the music stops and there's the changeover, sort of like... quiet down a little bit to be like, oh, what's this new person going to play? And several of them you hear just like, oh, that's a weird looking dwarf.
She starts playing her unusual but exciting sounding music and rocking out, basically. Well, she starts with something a little more mellow, but it's really catchy.
That's what I was going to say, is that insight told you that like they want something mellow first, and then you can ease them into your brand of music. Roll a performance, just see how it goes.
I rolled a 28.
Not bad.
I'd say.
The mood of the bar changes in general, and people start getting really amped about the music going on. And every time one of your songs ends, there's a bunch of cries of like requests from the crowd, like play the hero of Craw, play like blah, blah. Like it's a bunch of like people calling out for like traditional old songs and newer ones and various bar songs.
She'll definitely actually play a few of the requests at first, but she'll play it in her style. Like she's fiddled with old common songs and bar songs, but kind of modified them to be a little bit more rock, punk.
Oh, sweet.
Like metal. And it builds up and she starts playing songs that she's written. And some of the songs that she's written have been like, when she started writing music, it was to make old handicapped dwarven miners feel like they were reliving the good old days and how strong they were. But she's kind of like tailoring it to the crowd of like travelers and how they may be weary, but it's because they're doing the good work and they're strong and they're doing the right thing and making other people's lives better and stuff like that.
When you're playing this, you actually see a couple of dwarves come in off the street, like recognizing the tune and have a seat for a minute and like order a couple of drinks. And you see the bartender over there, clearly the proprietor of this establishment, give you the come talk to me later nod. And I want you to make another insight real quick.
I rolled an 11 insight.
So the cries for various tunes starts to get a little more rambunctious, but it seems all right. You go a couple more songs before realizing that you're clearly taking, not on purpose, but you've been taking requests from one section more than another section.
Mm-hmm.
And you see a group of clearly more professional, hardened mercenary guards and a larger group of caravan hands that are starting to get pretty rambunctious. And as a person who's performed in quite a few taverns, you know this is about to escalate into a bar fight.
Oh no. Galena considers for a moment, because she's pretty hyped, if a bar fight would be fun. But then she's like, no. So she's going to not stop the song in the middle of the song. She's going to finish the song she's currently playing, and then she's going to play Snuffles and Truffles, which isn't a particularly rambunctious song, but it's compelling and interesting and will hopefully capture everyone's attention and take their focus onto her instead of onto other people. And I guess she will cast Calm Emotions to try to keep the crowd from punching each other too much.
Sounds good. I want you to make an Arcana check to weave the magic into your music seamlessly without them noticing that you're casting at them.
Okay. I rolled a 16 in Arcana.
Nice. The ringleaders of the group that are starting to get at each other's throats, because they're only a couple tables away from each other, you're able to catch them both within the cone of your calm emotions, and they just stop fighting, sit down, and start listening raptly to the ballad of Snuffles and Truffles, beta version. And the rest of the tavern is into it as well. They generally sit in rapt attention to the entire thing, and there's rapturous applause afterwards. But you are going to finish out the night. At some point, you take a break, and the bartender gives you, you know, a couple free drinks and discusses your lack of fees for staying here tonight as long as you continue to play.
Galena nods. She's like, I can do that. Yeah, that sounds good.
And you spend a little bit of your time, I assume, going back and chatting up Lorano and his sisters, who are also going to stay the night. They were planning on renting out a stable to sleep in.
Oh, I'll take care of their room. If I can with my music, then I will. But if I can't, then I don't mind putting some money down.
It's kind of a pittance for the amount of money that you carry around on you all the time. So yeah. You do that, and they seem very grateful. And the end of the first day comes and passes uneventfully. The next day, they leave. Is there anything you wanted to bother them about that before they go?
I don't think so. She probably feels a little bit embarrassed that she was so rude to them. And she feels like she's paid her dues for making up for it and is becoming interested in the town that she's in, since she's going to have to be there for a while. And she's really interested in replenishing her supplies as well, her medical supplies.
Which Lorano and his family appear to be very happy with you. Like, they realize, they were told, like, oh, that was magic is why she was so rude. And they knew about that. And you were very nice afterwards. And so when they leave, Lorano actually gives you a couple of herbs replenishing your medical kit, if it's not entirely replenished. and they say fond farewells, all hugging you tightly and expressing that you are welcome to stay with them in the future. Specifically, Lethal says you're welcome at their fire the next time you cross paths, and head off to the south, back to the forest. The second day you're there, the inn went from being almost completely full to almost completely empty, as you can see that those caravans have moved on. And in this time where you can see the empty room, and the bartender isn't as interested in you playing until the evening because they're only going to have the regulars, you go out on the town and shop and look around and get to know the sights. When the rest of the party gets here, hopefully you'll be able to show them around.
Yeah.
That day passes uneventfully. When the third day comes, you start to realize that there are regulars. There are people who are here because they work in the village. Like, there's the smithy and a couple of other people who their job is tending to the people who come through. Mm-hmm. But you also start to notice that there are some people who are here who don't seem to be doing anything. Like you. Like, okay. You're not really here for a reason except that you're waiting for somebody.
Yeah.
There's a group of people which consists of very clearly a knight from Medina. He's constantly in half-plate armor and sitting by himself most of the time. And when he is not sitting by himself, he's sitting with a scholarly-looking fella who is also just sort of hanging around. You see them about town, sort of killing time, talking with shopkeepers, wandering about. But as the days pass, you start to notice that they are meeting with people repeatedly and meeting together repeatedly. Hmm. And they're meeting with a figure who you never see their face. They are cowled. Everyone else is just like, oh, I'm just a person. And this person's being suspicious all the time.
Is that the group that has the purple dot?
Yes.
Okay.
On the fourth day, they are joined by another person who is a tall, gaunt man with black hair tied back in a ponytail. And he is constantly holding a book with a symbol on it, with a staff with an eye on the end. But he is just obnoxious. The waitress who initially served you continues to serve you throughout the week and continues to jibe you whenever you ask her about herself. Mentions that he is very poncy.
Galena's going... I know what Galena's going to do. She's going to be watching him. And if there's a moment where he... Let's say the waitress goes over and serves them and he says something really condescending to her. She's going to water shape his drink into his face. as stealthily as she can.
Roll a stealth.
Would it be stealth or sleight of hand?
Stealth. Actually, you can sell either to me. They're similar stats, so.
Yeah, they're both three. But I feel like it'd be sleight of hand, because I imagine that she moves her hand a little bit when she does it.
Yeah, so it's kind of like... water-bendering-y.
Okay, I rolled a 17 for sleight of hand.
That beats his passive perception as his wine gets splashed up onto him. As if he did it himself. he just does the and demands some napkins, which she runs off to get, but like isn't mad at her, just feels clumsy and embarrassed.
Galena will grab the nearest napkin she sees and go over to him and give it to him.
Do you want to do this while they're all at a table together or while he's alone?
While they're all at a table together.
Okay. You come upon this table, which is filled with this very upstanding looking knight with a square, almost crew cut going on.
I have a very important question real quick. Mm-hmm. Are any of them really attractive?
You can't tell with the cowled person. You can't even tell their gender. They like are constantly hunched over. But the knight is like traditionally generically handsome. He's got like a 2-day shadow on all the time, mm-hmm. but he's generally just like muscular and square-jawed. The scholarly looking gentleman has a ponytail going on and is bespectacled, but he also looks fit. And when you get closer, you realize he is armed. He does have a sword, but the poncy man is specifically unattractive. He just looks like a jerk. It's weird. You just get this feeling of unease whenever he looks at you.
I imagine the guy from Pocahontas, the assistant to the main evil dude.
Oh yeah,
the one who carries this. Okay, so she's gonna go over and she's just curious. Like, she wants to know what these people, like, she's feeling bored since she doesn't have any friends, so she wants to start talking to random people. Which, okay. If it were Iria, it would have taken her immediately to do it, but since it's gone, it took her a few days. She'll be like, oh, I saw you spill your drink over there. Ha ha ha. You know, sometimes people just get clumsy, especially with a little too much wine. Eh, buddy? And she like nudges him with her elbow.
I never drink too much.
That's what we all say sometimes, don't we? Especially when we've been drinking too much. She kind of like grins at the other guys, especially the scholarly looking one. I think that would be her type today.
The scholarly guy with his hair sort of pulled back into the ponytail is just like smiling up at you, and he looks like so amused, but is just putting on a pleasant face. But the smile is all in his eyes. The knight is looking straight forward at the scholarly gentleman without looking up at you, but you can see the corner of his mouth twitch. The cowled person, you can't see them at all. You hear the ugly gentleman say, "Who is this? Why is she talking to me? Who are you?"
If you haven't heard me play already and announce myself, I'm Galena the Bard. I'm pretty well known, I must say so myself. Coming up there.
I would say I enjoyed listening to you, but I've distinctly changed my opinion as of now.
Well, that's unfortunate. Okay, I have to think of something clever to say. I want to say something along the lines of, well, I guess it's not much of a loss if somebody has to change their opinion of me because of a joke at their expense. Not all of us can have the confidence to take such jokes. I don't know why she's being such an asshole to him. Well, he is kind of an asshole. Yeah, she says that, except not as slow. Oh, she says.
Roll intimidate to burn.
Okay. I rolled a 12.
He looks up and just sneers his face into an even more ugly shape, and the scholarly looking dude next to him puts a hand on his shoulder, which makes the ugly man flinch like aggressively. It's almost like he thinks he's gonna get stabbed. And the scholarly man takes his hands off, stands up, and says, "Excuse me a moment, all of you, if you don't mind." The knight nods and the ugly man sort of huffs, but the scholarly gentleman comes over to you and says, "You'll get nothing better from him. He's not the friendly type. Can I get you a drink?"
Sure, I'd love one. What's your name?
As he's walking to the counter with you, he says, "My name's Abel. I work in Umbria as a man who knows things. Let's say that."
When he says, "My name's Abel," Glenna says quietly, "I bet you're Abel."
What was that?
Nothing. So you know things. That's what you said?
People call it an advisor, but I always think that's pretentious.
How do you know things?
He pulls a small journal out of the inside of his coat and taps it on his nose. "I watch and I listen.
Ah,
And I've got to
I
say,
guess
I've
that's.
got a couple of your songs written down. They're quite wonderful."
Thanks. They are. Just always credit me. She like finger guns him.
He flips it open, and you can see Snuffles and Truffles written down, credited to you, and like dated.
Okay, cool. So tell me about your friends. I'm waiting for mine. That's why I'm here. They're doing something that I couldn't really help them with and just thought I'd make new friends while I'm waiting. I don't know when they're coming back.
As you are waiting at the bar, the young woman with silver hair comes over to you and looks at Abel and says, "The regular? And what about you, Galena?"
I'd like. Do you have any wine fit for a dwarf, actually? I'm feeling wine today for some reason.
"We can send someone over for some of the fortified stuff.
Yeah, that sounds good.
They have some in the siege cellar, I think." And she steps away to a young boy who like runs off down the street. He'll probably be back in like 10 minutes. Abel looks over to you and sort of leans in, looking back at the table, and says, "Only Cain's my friend. The guy in armor all the time."
Cain and Abel. Sorry, I said that out of character. Cain, any relation?
"No, we're co-workers, so to speak.
Okay.
We don't get to see each other very often, so it's always great when we get together."
So the other two guys, what do they do for you?
"Business affairs. I'm afraid I'm not at liberty to talk about it, but tell me about your friends. You don't have to go at length. You can just tell me how much you want to tell me or not tell me."
Well, we met when I was playing a show, actually, and I helped them with some medical stuff because they needed someone to do some sewing, like to hold, put their finger down when they were tying off some stitches and stuff. And a war kind of landed in our lap, and yeah, now one of my friends has a cursed weapon, and he is going to get it uncursed, but I couldn't help them with that, so that's why I'm here.
Wait, 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 wait.
They're,
Stop.
yeah.
Don't tell me anymore. I'm
Yeah.
gonna guess who you are. I mean, I know your name, but you run with
Yeah.
Eden Milan. Am I right?
Yeah, she's really nice. I like her. She taught me how to speak goblin.
That's interesting. He leans in close. Why are you here?
Is it a bad thing that I'm here?
I don't know. Why are you here?
I couldn't go where they are going. I couldn't go to the Cold Forge.
Ah, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Cold Forge. Very, very bad for dwarves.
Right. I got close.
He looks kind of confused and, like, startled, and he stands up and reaches to pat your back and then changes to a handshake and, like, offers it to you.
What?
It was a pleasure meeting you, Galena.
Is something wrong?
Oh, no, nothing. 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 No. Would you like to meet for drinks later? I just realized I had an appointment.
Sure, yeah. I'll be here, probably.
Of course, right. He walks out the front door, and you see Kane at the table over there, the gentleman in armor, sees this happen and finishes his drink just so slowly and then stands up and leaves as well.
I would say that Galena's kind of concerned, but should I roll a insight to see how concerned she should be?
You can feel however you want to feel. You can insight to see more about their motivations for what they just did.
I want to do that. I want to roll insight to see why he left, if he was acting out of the ordinary or not. And then, motivations. I rolled a critical success of 6 on insight.
Man, this guy almost beat you with a not crit. This man, Mr. Abel, clearly didn't know who you were when you started talking. Now he does know who you are. He was flustered. He realized that he was flustered and that he needed to leave before he accidentally said something. And then his friend saw that and went out with him, but did his best to not look like he was absolutely going out to go talk with his friend.
Okay.
The other two people at the table start to look nervous, but you see your waitress go over to them and say something and lean down, and they give her some money, and then she moves away, and then they look less nervous. You are brought a mug of fortified wine.
Glenna says, thank you. I need to go to the bathroom. I'll be right back. Can you watch my mug?
Sure. She just, like, takes it from the bar and puts it up on the counter and tells the person next to her and then, like, continues to bus tables.
Okay. Galena will head over to the door and look outside of the door to see where the two guys are there.
Okay. You step out. The road is relatively empty. There's a couple horses at the hitching posts nearby. You see a couple people walking by, but you don't see them.
Is there a boy at the hitching post?
Absolutely. There's always a stable boy.
Stable boy? Okay, she says to the stable boy, hey, did you see a attractive guy with glasses and his attractive macho-looking friend walk by?
I don't know how attractive your friends are, but my eyes are awful tired. Maybe if I had enough to buy a hat. And he, like, rubs an eye and holds out the other hand.
She drops a silver coin in it.
And then he immediately stops rubbing his eye and points towards the stables. They're in the stables.
Okay, she's gonna go to the stables.
Okay.
On the pretense.
Yeah. Are you sneaking or are you just barging in?
I'm sneaking, but she's got her plan of checking on Journey if anybody asks.
Okay, yeah, you've got a cover. Roll a stealth.
I rolled a 20 in stealth.
You get up to the doors, look in, it doesn't seem like anybody's there, but you do hear somebody talking, and you're able to slip in amongst the horses. Do you see Journey, who comes over and nickers softly at you, but you, just putting a finger to your mouth, you make her shush.
Mm-hmm.
You see the two of them talking. The man in armor just has his arms folded, and Abel is expressively gesticulating at him. You hear Kane say, you shouldn't let a pretty face trick you. You would get loose lips around women like this. And Abel says, I know, that's not the point. The point is, they're here now. We're not ready for them. And at this point, you make just like the smallest sound and they look around. And you hear Kane just being like, it's just the horses. Relax.
Okay. Do they say anything else?
They continue to talk about siblings a little bit. They talk about that they're still waiting for someone. And they talk about you and your party, specifically Eden, as being someone they want to hire, as well as Sten.
Hmm.
And before long, a stable boy like comes in. And they move, and while the stable boy is like brushing a horse. And okay, they step back into the building.
She thinks, okay, that doesn't sound bad, so she goes back to drink her wine.
When you get back, the waitress is standing in front of you.
Hello.
You're back. And she hands you your wine.
Thank you.
I sniffed that and it just destroyed my nostrils.
Yeah, don't sniff it. She squints at the waitress some more. Where do you come from?
Oh, because you're paying attention, you see a moment of thought before she responds. Southern Umbria, just west of the Sanguine Fields.
Can I see your ears?
Why would you want to do that?
You just remind me of someone.
Well, that's a new pickup line. I don't think I've heard that one before.
No. Galena sort of laughs. She's like, I'm sorry. It's just, I'm a little bit on edge, I guess. I guess I just miss my friends and I don't know who to trust.
She smiles down at you.
She drinks her wine.
And yeah. Then she turns and very casually in front of you brushes her hair behind her ear and you see a scarred ear tip.
Oh, that's why you look familiar.
And then shakes out the hair again, so like it's covered.
It's not what's their name, is it?
Good old what's their name? Give me more information.
cobble dude, shoe cobbler, who was a boy man at the time, but isn't a boy. Sariel's friend.
It is them.
Oh, wow. Galena slaps her hands on the table. What's your name this time? She like then coughs and says, I mean, what's your name again?
Before you can cough, oh so casually, elbows the wine into your lap.
Hey! She giggles and she's like, sorry, Sariel should be here soon, you know.
I look forward to seeing her.
I'm sure
now,
you do.
I'd like to keep a low profile.
I'm really sorry. I just got excited. Do you want to catch up or something? I just overheard some funny stuff, and I was wondering if you knew more about some of the people that are here.
Well, I'll take a blind guess and say that I do know more. But for the time being, I'm going to tell you that I think you're fine, and I think I've got a good handle on them at the moment. Do they know who you are?
Yeah, they do. I kind of got, like I said, having trouble knowing who to trust, and that guy was looking kind of tasty, I might say. Maybe said too much. I did, and he did.
He is handsome. Yep. Not my type. I'm more of the
wise, tousle-haired, bookish elf.
Oh, well, that too. I'm more of the competent type. Anybody who holds themselves well under pressure.
Yeah, I mean, that is Sariel.
Especially isn't it just?
Yeah, it's really, like, honestly, I'm not 100% that way. She kind of finger guns and winks a little bit, but if I were more than Sariel, and a little older, Sariel, yep, uh-huh, especially when she turns into a bear. Not that I'm into bears, it's just that it's super cool when she does it. It's really cool.
At this point,
like, the wine was strong.
At this point, she is just, like, elbows on the counter, sort of wiping a cup, and for all intents and purposes, anybody else in the bar would be like, oh, it's two ladies, like, giggling about boys. She looks up at the ceiling and is like, bear, huh? That ought to be interesting. And then shakes her head and looks back at you and says, don't worry, I'll wait till the rest of you show up. I'm the one they're waiting for.
Oh, she kind of nods her head towards the group that she just talked to, who they're waiting for?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Boy, is that going to give Mr. Condescending a surprise?
Oh, isn't it just?
He's awful. I don't understand people like that.
He's not the worst. He's just not the best either.
So, oh yeah, what is her name now? Or their name right now?
Genho.
As bartender. Genho?
Okay. And then she leans forward and winks. Lori, if you know me well.
Lori. So what's the skinny on the rest of these people in here?
Mostly caravan hands. Mercenaries looking to be hired on for muscle. Those three in the corner, they're hunters. And those four seedy-looking fellas are spies and cutthroats.
Hmm, just my type.
Anyway, I need to get back to work, but pretend you don't know me. And she wanders off. The day passes, and the next day, the caravans come in, and the tavern is full again. And again, you have an appreciative crowd. Everybody is glad to be off their feet to have warm food, wine, and comfy place to sit and to sleep. But as you are taking a break and walking through the crowd, you see the cowled man who is shuffling by you as you brush by them. Because the crowd's just pretty packed tight. You are looking down and you see the edge of their clothes change momentarily as you brush up against them into the robes of the Eyes of Aramain.
Ah! Galena freezes and can't breathe for a second, and then she rushes as fast as she can towards Lori.
And there we will wrap for the evening, possibly.
Awesome.